That was a funny bit.
Just about a minute after 8 o'clock on a beautiful, stormy Monday morning. Welcome to the Mornings with Ed show, as we do each and every Monday. We are delighted to welcome the Sawdust Art Festival's Frankie DeShane in for our Sawdust Art Festival's Artist Corner this morning. You brought somebody special with you this morning, Frankie.
I did. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you very much. You brought with you an icon. He's really the one and only. And when you introduce him as the one and only, this is true. He's a painter, photographer, musician, essentially our town historian. Absolutely. Is what he is.
Keep talking.
I will. We welcome our good friend Douglas Miller in. Hi, Douglas. How are you?
Good morning. This is really beautiful here.
It's great to have you here. Yeah. So is this your first time at the radio station?
Oh, this is about my third. I think I was with Tom Joliet on the air way back with Grace, and I was with Sasha Evans. I know twice. Well, it's third or fourth time.
So you've been all right. You've been around the block here at the radio station.
A little bit.
All right. Okay. Speaking of around the block, we see you
but it's
everywhere.
It's been so long. I'm rusty.
Well, you're hardly rusty. It's been far too long. I'll agree to that. But hardly rusty.
Well, give me the oil can.
So I and Frankie will tell you this, that I went nuts when I found out that it was going to be you that we were speaking to. I find you not just a great guy and all of the great stuff I could say about you, but you're so colorful. I find that the entire community just loves a colorful character, and
well,
you
make me feel like a cockatoo or a toucan.
All right.
Except I don't have a nose that big, but it's pretty good.
So you are so prolific in your art, and I'm curious, if you could take me back to a 12-year-old Douglas Miller, what was Douglas Miller like as a 12-year-old? What was that kid like?
Kind of heavy, round, and with a nerdy with the glasses and picked on by the kids. That was 12. I like to draw and that kind of thing, but it wasn't anything great shakes, but I thought I was. I like to draw telephone poles and perspective of telephone poles.
Okay.
And electric towers.
All right.
That was a big deal.
All right.
12. I was ninth grade, something like that.
Yeah, 12. Yeah, 12 would have probably been eighth grade, seventh or eighth grade,
well,
right around.
It wasn't so bad. Up to sixth, it was nightmare. But after seventh and on, then it was great.
Right, and your talent as an artist. Well, okay, let's say you started with the telephone poles. Your talent as an artist obviously expanded.
Well, that came about at Long Beach City College, actually, the arts in high school, and then the city college. I just liked to do it, and I had an year of art and a year of music, and I had a violin teacher for 10 years, and so I learned the violin from being 9 on. So
right. Were you forced into violin as a kid?
Yeah.
The parents said, "Here's the violin you're going to play."
And then it was fine until I said, "Oh, you got to practice." I'm sure I tortured the neighbors a bit.
Right. Well, before we get into your painting, I do want to talk about your violin. It's capable, and I've heard you play many, many times. And it's in one case, yes, he's a violinist. And then in another case, you could easily be a fiddler.
Yes, I'm a breath mint and a floor wax.
Yes. It's a dessert topping. It's a floor wax.
That's right, dessert topping.
It's a dessert topping. I remember you.
Yeah, SNL, yeah.
as you play violin, do you have a preference, fiddling or violin?
Oh, it's the violin.
All right, okay.
That's what I feel like. I do more orchestral in my head.
Right.
That's why I'm playing orchestrally when I'm fiddling, even. Okay. They'll fiddle under. It's the open strings. That's the key to that.
Okay.
Having that twang.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into this magnificent artistry of yours.
Okay, back to the painting. I paint every day.
I do want to get into it, because as our listeners walk through Sawdust and they text me back here on a Monday after having spent the weekend there, many of those texts are about you and your booth and the amazing artwork. Yes, I'm not kidding. So I have a couple of your works at the house. We have a couple of your works proudly hanging on our artist wall at the house.
Really nice.
Oh, no, thank you. It's very nice of you. One of them, the most recent purchase, is of a story. It's a night scene, and Frankie, you brought one with you that you have.
It's a night scene.
It's a nightscape. And mine is a storm on Coast Highway, much like we experienced last night,
right
at Bluebird.
Now. Yeah.
my nightscape is facing this way from Bluebird. And you're so detailed about when the picture was taken and when the painting was done. Where did that detail come? When did you start that?
Well, it was 1994. I got hold of the small canvases. Before that, I was sporadically painting. Like most people sporadically paint, most artists do like 8, 10 paintings, and then a month goes by and they've done nothing. And right. And you end up with about 20 to 40, 50 paintings in a year, okay? And I got sawdust, and I didn't sell too many anyway. Maybe I'd sell 10 during the summer, and nobody would even know I actually sold them. Because I did the birthday paintings that made up for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's another story.
Tell us that story, please.
Birthday stories. In 1976, I started got the idea I could put everybody's name on a painting, and I so got my friends' names and wrote them in a book, and I was playing a restaurant with Bob Hawkins, Dave McMahon down in did the Jolly Roger. That's when it started. And then I got names of all the waitresses and everybody. And everybody came in. I just got their names and birthdays on and on and on. And filled up a book. I've got a book that has a page for each day of the year. And so I put all their names down there. I got up to about 10,000 people. And then I went, that's later. Because that's birthday painting number two. I put about 20,000 people on it. But painting number one was random. I put about 3,000 or 4,000 people on that. That's what I got to. Try to remember back to how that all worked. But that was done just randomly and put all these people on there. Then number two painting was the following year. So 76 was the first one. 78 was the second. And then came on. And the third one was never completed, but still looks pretty neat. But number four painting was at Sawdust in 83, and I said, why can't I just do it from people passing by? So I started putting people's names from folks passing by at Sawdust on the painting. With a brush. And so I did that, and it filled up, who knows how many's on that thing. Right. So painting number four and five are random. People came by, and five is a great big one. It was the year at Sawdust, they had a Eiffel Tower on top of my booth.
Okay,
that year.
That was very cool.
Yeah.
And let me put Frankie on the spot. Sawdust historian, right? Mm-hmm. What year was that Eiffel Tower?
That was...
I believe you just said
84.
84, 85? No. Let's see. It'd be 85. Okay. That's 85. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay, 85. All right, I just
birthday painting number five. Mm. That's right.
It's not going to be a quiz or anything at the end of the show.
I'm
trying
to remember and have this right in my head. That's the historian in me, a sense. It's like it isn't that I'm so much a historian. So I just want things to be in the order of done, and I wrote things down. I kept the book all the time. Wrote down the names of people as I took pictures of everybody.
Right.
So I took pictures of everybody, and then I made an alphabetized. Got notebooks. I made three alphabetized notebooks. Three sections of people I took pictures of. There's about 40,000 people there. Something like that.
Yeah.
So I could find their names and their proof sheet numbers, where they're on the proof sheets. You know, I could look it up. Or now it's useful. Somebody says, do you have a picture of me, so-and-so? And I can look it up and say, oh, that's your friend. I got a call. I got Brett Chapin. He worked at Sawdust this morning. He gave me a message online. Says, hey, buddy, do you have a picture of me? I'd like to know. And I looked into my book, and I found Sarah and something else, Chapin and Smitty Chapin, but no Brett Chapin. Then he says, well, that's after 92. So my catalog goes to 92. So he's in there, but I don't have him in there. I got him somewhere.
Amazing. That is amazing. The story I'm hearing, that is amazing organizational skill right there.
Come to the picture of him someday. There's 100,000 pictures he could be in. Right. Well, maybe you get it down to 60,000 because after 97, 98, you know. Right.
I need to bring you in here and have you organize our files. I really do. I think this is exactly the gig I need to give this guy.
I can file down this microphone, maybe make a point on it.
So on the nightscape that I have, it was number 56 that you'd done in 2008 and number 9,476 that you'd done since January 1st of 74.
So that was 9,000. Yeah, I'm at 19,000. I'm at 19,700 as of last night, 19,781.
My goodness.
So next year, I should hit 20,000 finally.
All right.
The one I brought in is actually number 14,256.
Oh, it's old. Throw it away, replace. Got to have a new one.
Painted on 2/27/2013 on Diamond Street. And it actually has a photo attached to the back. And many of your paintings are based on
that's
your
when
photos.
I had film in the camera. Mm-hmm. People, I didn't realize people wanted the picture with the painting. And discovered that sawdust after all the time I'd been throwing the pictures out after doing a lot of the early pictures were thrown out, though I have the negatives somewhere, but I'd have to reprint them.
My two Douglas Millers have the pictures attached, and that's they're hanging with the pictures behind them. Yeah. So
well, the pictures would get paint on them. I'd paint them. I'd look at the pictures, and there'd be paint spots on the pictures. Who needs that?
Do you ever create something just for you? Is there a painting that you, when you finish it?
I have some of my sons and some of up in Kernville and where we go camping out in Wyoming. There's some nice things. There's some older ones from 1971 and 72 in the house. Okay. Those were before I put numbers on them.
Right.
There's about 1,000 paintings before I started numbering the paintings.
Okay.
I started number one and wrote it and kept a catalog of them. And so there's 52 a page, and they've got three books. I'm in the third book now.
Wow.
Yeah, there's 7,000 in a book.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
This is amazing.
Then there's 80 books of names of people, and they're in the house.
This is
picked them in order and numbered the books.
This is exactly why I wanted him here, for these answers right here, man.
All right.
So you have something. If you go to Sawdust.
I created my own prison. I'm going to go on gulag.
When you go to Sawdust now, there's something in your booth, on your booth, about all the crazy places.
The places people made love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us about that and how you got started with that idea.
That was about 1998. I was doing the birthday paintings. I wrote everybody's names and birthdays on them. I'd ask stupid things relatives did. I asked what girls did with their Barbie dolls and guys did with their G.I. Joes, and got earthquake stories and pet stories. The last one, that was birthday painting number 14. And then I got the idea, I asked people next year, what's the naughtiest thing you ever did? And I got four very lame answers from four boys.
Right.
And then the fifth person was a lady who said she did it on the ninth green of the Tustin Ranch golf course.
Oh, yeah.
And then I knew what to ask people. And after that, then it took off. And then I'd be painting, I'd write down what somebody told me. I'd ask people, where you make love that wasn't in the house or on the honeymoon? I got that. So it was because it started to get honeymoon stories that were boring. You know, everybody does it under the moon in Tahiti. Oh, come on. Who cares?
Who hasn't? Right?
I want to know where you did in a parking lot or on an elevator or on a desk or something like that. Right. Okay, so I get these wonderful, got a lot of stories, and some of them are very cockeyed and strange.
Right.
But I'd have to make sentences out of them. I'd put them on the painting, and somebody would come along and give me another one, and I'd write it down, and I'd be painting it on there, and then somebody would come laugh at it, and they'd give me another story, and I'd write that down, and it would daisy chain onto the paintings. And so I put birthdays, too, so that it's a birthday painting, so I got a calendar hidden in the painting as well as. And you can find everybody's birthday on it by adding the month and day together, divide by four, get the remainder, and the remainder tells you which corner, 1, 2, 3, or even, and then you go to that corner, and you go by the month up or down, and the date across, and then you find a birthday there. That's easy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a Jeopardy answer right there.
Phil.
I'm so glad you mentioned that painting. That painting, that one in particular that you asked about, Ed, is a really large painting on your wall.
That one's 4 foot by 6 foot with about 10,000 people on it. Mm-hmm. I was going to say 80,000. That's about how many people I've put on birthday paintings, about around 80,000. That's just an estimate, though.
Right.
You know, you have to have somebody come and count it, and I'm too old for that.
And I want to remind our listeners that when you do go to Sawdust this weekend, absolutely stop by the booth and see that right there. That
I got my first giclée I ever did of the lovemaking painting done, and it's hanging in there. It's hanging in there.
I didn't think you did.
And I sold one. Oh, no, I've never made a giclée before, but Tom O'Hara, he makes the giclées for the Festival of Arts.
Right.
He's very good at it, but it takes a while. They're tough to make, you know, right. handmade, but they're beautiful.
Right. A lot of artists, as they come in here, they tell us about a mentor that they had. Did you have a mentor?
Mentor? Well, someone... besides the great artists, and look at Van Gogh, of course, and Monet, and but I like Jean-Louis David, and as how very smooth he got the exacting skins and flesh tones, and beautiful how he did those things. And then, the Impressionists, yeah, like Pizarro and those, you know, Utrillo. My grandmother gave me art books as a kid, and she slapped away his coloring books for me and told me, "You got to paint on a blank, draw on a blank page," and that's what I grew up with.
Oh, that's huge!
I couldn't keep my colors inside the lines anyway.
I never could either.
No, it's terrible. I was picked on by the kids. You're sloppy. You can't do that. A teacher, you're sloppy. Oh, really? Really? You stay inside the lines.
Yeah. And you know what? And look at him now. All those people that had picked on you, look at him now. All right?
Okay.
I got you covered.
Yeah, but painting, there's a sincerity of painting you have to do. And a lot of people don't. It's a tough thing. There's a line you have to do. You have to do something that the public wants. And so you got to paint Main Beach, and you paint the tower down at Victoria Beach, and a few of the things that you got to sell them because you have to make a living doing it too.
Right. Do you feel that selling out at all?
At least I don't paint it the same way every time.
Right.
You paint it, you can change the sky, you can change the time of day, and you can change and the waves and birds. I don't put birds flying.
Right.
They're like they'd fall out of the sky. They get their energy decreases as the painting gets older.
Right. Do you feel
same thing with waves? You don't make big splashy waves. It's a big mistake.
So what is the big mistake about waves? And people do, there's artists that actually capture waves
as they are very beautiful, and they look at them, but the paintings get very tired after a while. Right. Replace that thing, you know. Right. No, my great aunt, Ann Robinson, lived in North Laguna, and that'd be more Mander, really. I think I just have to remember Ann Robinson. And she said, when you put blue next to white, as in the ocean, your mind makes the waves move. It makes your head makes it move. You don't have to do a whole lot about that.
Oh, very nice.
And make things splash up. And when you do that, your painting is full of energy, but the energy goes away as you get used to it. It's like too much sugar.
Yeah. Brilliant.
It's like Tchaikovsky's music. It's very beautiful. You hear it, and then after about the sixth time, you've got to hear something else.
Right.
But you come back to it again after about a year, and then it's fresh again.
Right.
That's how it is.
So as you're painting a nightscape or a beautiful scene, which you say you have to sometimes...
Oh, nightscapes. Oh, those are fun. So, a little secret. You've got to paint where the headlights, say a headlight of a car or a building sign, you paint that white first, and you go paint the darker around it. If you don't do that, it'll be grayish.
Right. I'm looking at it now. Thank you for holding that up, Frankie. I'm looking at one right now. And our listeners, by the way, can go onto my Instagram page and see a sample as I included one yesterday in the post when I was excited.
White, so the light bounces off the canvas, comes because the white paint isn't opaque. So the canvas comes through that as the white areas.
Right.
A little tint of yellow, maybe.
So as you paint from a photograph that you've taken, sometimes you don't paint from a photograph. Tell us about the process.
It's nice when you don't paint from a photograph too.
Tell us about that process compared to painting from a photograph.
Well, if you don't paint from a if you're painting something that has buildings and trees that and the stumps and things and the trunks have to be in the right spot, you better have a photograph for it.
Right.
Like the boardwalk or something. You have to really look at that and get the proportions because that's the lifeguard tower at Main Beach. That's a great one. Everybody wants the lifeguard tower at Main Beach, but it's a nightmare to paint it after painting. Nice to paint it two or three times, but when you want to paint it 10 times.
Right.
My gosh, you know, these people want the lifeguard tower. So please, I got to put that darn sign the right way and I got it tall and proportions exactly right. And I don't sketch it in with a pencil. I just paint the brush and I pulled the photograph the right size to match this canvas away from my eyes so I can see exactly where the proportions are and where to put things. And that gets it right that way. It's a little tricky thing, but I'm not, you know, you can't see that on the radio so well.
Right. Well, you can see it if you go to my Instagram account. You'll be able to see the samples of your
samples.
Work.
That's really great. Yeah. I'd like some chocolate.
We'll also share it on ours as well.
Got to get some See's candy in here.
You know what? I think we've got some stuff up for you. I may even have something in my pocket.
Have
here. Hold on.
Anyway.
No, here you go. You asked for chocolate, and there you go. From Mulan.
Milan. Well, I won't eat it right now.
All right. Well, you can save it for later. Save it. I came prepared for him.
My gosh, Milan.
So you've been walking around town taking photographs for as long as I've been here and even longer. Tell us the differences in the town from when you started taking photographs and maybe even just the people that you photograph.
Yeah, a lot of those folks aren't with us anymore. Very sad, like Bud and the Parrot and those people on Forest Avenue that were there all these years. Well, the businesses were wonderful back in those days. Well, they're useful businesses for people. They had Class Appliances and the electric shop and all the, they had the shoes, of course, but then now they're designer shoes and dress shoes. But back in there, there was stuff. And Sprouse Wrights had everything you wanted for your Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts and your ribbon and everything you wanted for Christmas to get. And you didn't have to drive all the way out to Laguna Hills.
Right.
And Laguna Hills Mall was happening. That came in, and then everybody went over there. But then Sprouse went out of business, sadly. Yeah. But my favorite, the Christmas picture I took was in Sprouse Reitz. It said Winter Wonderland on a little arch over the aisle. And it took a picture of that in black and white. And it's just such a merry Christmas picture. It's like dreary little thing. It's just wonderful. I laugh at it. It's a laugh when I look at it. To me, anyway.
So, may I share something about you, Doug? So, I've read a lot about you over the years. Of course, I've known you now 9 years, and one of my very favorite things about you is, of course, your history as a photographer, as a historian in town. And I've read a lot of articles. I've seen a lot of features on you as well. The most recent one was 2014. Which was Sawdust and Sand, Doug Miller's Laguna Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, I learned that Doug was in the Navy for 4 years, and he at one point did murals for the Navy. He did several murals. And then they asked you to start taking photos, and that's how you got into that.
Well,
right?
I took pictures. I went overseas and got a camera in Hong Kong, and then I was in love with the camera. I had photographer's mates on the ship, and there was one really, the photographer's mate were really smart guys.
Right.
The head guys were the smart ones. On the Bennington, on the carriers, there was like 12 in that department. There'd be like 12 guys. 11 of them could take pictures of bolts and crunches, an airplane accident or something, and would bump something in the hangar deck. You'd get a, you know, something not minor dent or something. They'd have to take 10, like 8x10 glossies of a broken bolt, for Pete's sake, you know, and then send them in to the head people, whatever it is. Anyway, so these guys would take that, but they have one good photographer's mate who could take pictures of people or something. Well, on the, I got really good with the camera. I loved taking my pictures. My God, I went through. That's all I spent my money on in the Navy was film.
Right.
Over onto the shore when we went on Liberty, I liked to just take my camera and go look at everything. The other guys wanted to go off to into the town and get drunk and get laid. I didn't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Could you see yourself as a wartime photographer taking pictures of
these? I could have seen myself there.
Okay.
Probably be dead, but I could have done that.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Actually, when I'm shooting pictures, I realize I'm somewhat like that a little bit. I withdraw myself from the what's there and put myself into a maybe embarrassing situation.
Right.
Take the pictures, make people laugh, and they might ridicule me, but I get a great picture and I'm happy about it. That's what I was doing in the 80s. I was like that.
Right.
Shooting things to record it, and I got into that as it went. Then I said, "Well, what's not going to be here anymore?" So when the boardwalk disappeared, that was the early. That was the 70s.
Right.
When that disappeared, I played fiddle on the boardwalk a lot. NFL. That was the thing. And they put me in the paper that year, playing the violin while the boardwalk's being bulldozed.
Right. Mm.
I still remember that. And I wish I'd taken pictures of all the houses. And I wish I had arrested my camera in 1971 after I got out of the Navy. I didn't have bucks, but I didn't take pictures of sawdust. Bang! That was solid gold right there. 71, not many pictures in 72. But 73, I came out and started taking pictures of everything. Right. But the stuff that isn't there anymore and the people who aren't there anymore and all that, which I took pictures of babies when I first see them and granddads and grandmas as well as, and told myself, I like the girls, but I said, you got to take both genders. And so I did, though I tend to take one more than the other. That's life.
That is life.
That's what's attraction. Yeah. You know. But anyway, on it went. So
when you take a photograph of someone, what do you look for in the expression?
I look for their epitome. Hard to explain that. The epitome of somebody. That's when you see them first time and you see them the way they really are. In that little brief second, you'll catch it. You'll see them. And to catch it the second time and have your camera ready for it. That's the trick. And man, somebody played the fool, so they'll laugh or they'll say something. But you get them looking like they really are. They don't have to be looking right at you, but they've got that. Right. They're right there. The best shot you can get of them in their life that's going to show who they are right to the core. But it's there's tricks with that. It's fun at Sawdust late at night. We'll call it one bulb light. Mm-hmm. Late at night, there'd be somebody in their booth or in the aisle, and they got the Sawdust is lit by those little floodlights. So I tell people, look at me and let that light burn your eye. You can see, look right at me, but keep the that light up that way to the upper left or right. In your eyesight while you're looking, and you'll have the light will bounce off their eyeball and back into the camera. So you've got their light eyes lit up instead of having a black pupil. And so those pictures are always dull, but the ones with the light, it's just perfect. You get this really nice feel of who they are that way.
I am rarely delighted by a conversation, and I am just, right now, I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven, Doug. Well, I'm delighted by this conversation.
Don't go too early.
There's no one
And that was getting up this morning. It was like that old pig thing. Yeah, it was like, why getting up early is like a pig's tail. It's twirly. Never mind. Okay. I had to do that.
Are you working on anything now you can tell us about?
Well, I just did 4 paintings last night. I finished 4 last night. It's kind of amazing.
We talked prolific.
I did a bunch of roses. I need to give some flowers. I was doing florals for a good while.
Right.
Florals are fun to paint because they don't exhaust your mind. You can do that, but you gotta just have to think a little bit logically, and at the same time, not make them tired. It's easy to make tired paintings. Right. I like to make tired paintings that aren't tired.
Right. What's the most un-Douglas Miller painting you've made? The one that is least like the rest of them? What is...
There's some. I'm sure there are. I'm trying to think what's... Oh, gosh. That's a tricky little thing. Question. I don't want to take too much time on here with that.
No, that you take all day. This is your world.
Not
man.
All day. Well, yeah, this is your, all morning.
Paint it any color you want. It's your world.
What other... Well, there's... Oh, there's pictures... There's folks and pictures of people... Oh, I'm just trying to think what's... When I do pictures of Wyoming, people think that's not Doug Miller, but I don't know, but it's mine. But there's some other things, too. Oh, there's a art walk night, a gray, dark night on art walk, and I've got this, still have this painting, nobody wants it, of a lady with a tray in a gallery in North Laguna.
Okay.
Kind of looks like something... Oh, doesn't resemble anything else. I'm trying to think anybody else would have painted the thing. But it's one of my, I think it's my best.
I would love to see it the next time I'm at Sawdust. I would love to see it.
It's there and I keep it on the shelf. It'll be there.
Right.
Anyway, I keep about 1,100 pieces on the shelf at Sawdust during the summer. That's what I have now. Last summer, I sold, about 460 pieces. But the year before, that was 2021. We closed Sawdust on 2020, didn't have Sawdust because of COVID, okay?
Right.
Hate to say that word, COVID, no. Anyway, but 2021, I sold like 740 pieces over this summer and winter show. Right. That was phenomenal. Never did that well before.
Wow. Frankie, talk to us about how loved this guy is at Sawdust and what other artists say to you about him.
I mean, Doug is...
Oh, Lord.
Doug is ubiquitous at Sawdust and in town. I mean, everybody knows Sawdust. Everybody right. knows you, Doug, and everybody loves you as far as I know. I've never heard a bad word about you, Doug.
No, and, no one.
One thing, you know, Doug joined the show in 1971. And you had mentioned earlier the Eiffel Tower. He also at one point had a large train on top of his booth.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. That? The steam engine. Mm-hmm. Borrowed two oil drums from Carl Klass and made a cow catcher on there. And it looked pretty good, actually. the smokestack came out of a vent from a dumpster and the baby buggy wheels on the front end.
Just 1 year you did that?
Yeah, that was 83.
You never brought that back?
That's when the Sawdust was my first birthday painting underneath it hanging there.
Right.
Yeah. So, no, I never brought it back. It was like a 3D sculpture, the whole booth was.
Right.
And never had a booth in a position like that to do that. Did a Gothic church the following year.
Frankie, you included that train in the compendium that you created, correct?
Yes, it is in the history book, that particular photo of the train. But there's something
makes me feel good. Okay.
Speaking of the history book, half the book is filled with your photography, Doug. The archives, I love to share the archives. I love to talk about the archives. And one of the many reasons I'm so familiar with the archives is through your work, is through your photography. And and seeing Sawdust, you know, from the 70s. I don't know. You joined the show in 71, but I think you said you started taking photos of the show in 73.
Yeah. That's when I really did. I took some blurry shots in 74. I call them the coat hanger pictures. Like, not really, but it's like taking pictures of arty things, you know, and little blurs and things. They're pictures that don't mount to anything. There were slides. I was taking slides in the 70s.
I haven't
touched those yet. I haven't scanned any slides yet. There's 10,000 slides, at least 10,000. I took 40,000, but I threw a lot away because they were sunsets and they were just off.
Right.
You know, tilt the sky, tilt the camera and shoot a picture of a sunset with a tilted horizon. Come on. they don't go over well.
I read something, though, a while back where you said at the time in the 70s, you wanted to capture the emotion of the show because the show was so vastly different from anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was beautiful. It was pools of light at night. It was gorgeous. You had light shining on the grounds and different colors, and you walked through the show and all the barnwood. The Sawdust was made of barnwood. There was no drywall, and there was the booths, tops of the booths were like sculptures, gorgeous to go through there. Mm-hmm. The crowds just crowded in there. 1971, 72, Saturdays and Sundays, people were back to front through the Sawdust, going through with their heads turned, looking up at everything. And the crowds were immense. You think the crowds at 4,000 were big. They were bigger than that. They were double what we have now.
You had
72. It's incredible.
I'm going to interject here. You had an 8,000-person crowd this past Saturday.
We did. Doug, so, did you know that?
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This past Saturday, that place was packed.
How'd they all fit in there? I don't know.
It was pretty remarkable because we hadn't had that many people, I believe, documented on the grounds in, a few decades.
Right, right. Almost 40 years from what I heard from the historian.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thing. That's, yeah. It's remarkable. Years ago, we had our Barbara Barnett. Rest her soul. But yes. Barbara Barnett said, Sawdust is like dying on the vine. It was decreasing 10% every year, going down. And something revived it. It got revived. I think I give credit to you, Frankie, for that bit. It sure is nice. Once you got, we got the internet back on, and all something happened.
Right. Well,
we got
marketing.
A huge influx of people from other places have come in there.
Right. Well, congratulations to both of you. You both deserve big congratulations. Fantastic
job,
marketing.
Frankie.
Oh my gosh, Doug. Well, also, I wanted to. There was something that I was particularly taken by in the archives. There are some photos of, you didn't take them yourself because you're actually the subject of the photos.
Really?
Of you playing the violin. So over the years, especially on our 40th anniversary and again on our 50th in 2016, we asked visitors to share their memories, share some of their iconic Sawdust recollections. And there was a few in there that mentioned Doug Miller and playing the violin. And there was one in particular that I was so charmed by it, and it was that you would play the violin at closing.
Oh,
and
yes.
I have photos of that. I have photos of people watching you at night, sitting on the sawdust, sitting
Very
in the ground,
cool.
playing your violin and serenading people as they leave, as the show closes.
Yeah, I did that. And I forgot I've done that. Yes.
And he still does it.
A long time. Cool.
He actually still does it.
I still do it.
So, cool. So speaking of violin, you've just gotten you've gotten a new gig in town. You've got a regular spot you're going to be playing at that
I'm
we
excited.
Can all come and see you.
With Grace Freeman, this little genius writer, singer, and we're playing the Romari restaurant, which is now Chin Chin. It's right across the street. Look out the window of the radio station. Yeah. It's right there.
They always wave as they're studying. They always wave as you do when you pass by. And I thank you for that, by the way. So
they all wave. Oh, yes, that's fine.
So, Frankie, this weekend is the final weekend coming up.
Final weekend, 3-day
push. And
Friday,
Saturday, Sunday.
Right. Yes.
Other weekends are, except for Thanksgiving, they're Thanksgiving's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All the other weekends are just Saturdays and Sundays, but this is the first closing Friday, Saturday, Sunday they've had, I believe so. They didn't do that last year.
They did do it last year.
See, I can say things. I'm so wrong. Friday, Saturday, Sunday is coming up.
Every year we change.
And
we're
expecting sunny skies, beautiful clear skies. So
that's good.
Yes, it's a perfect. I got
so funny that two days ago they said rain, and then it's gone away now.
Right. Yeah. So we got sunny skies
and
expected
the
for the weekend.
Away.
I got Buffalo Kevin, my weather guy, telling me stuff. All you know, I get this really good national weather forecast. So yeah, by all means.
I do want to mention back to your photography, Doug. Sorry,
okay.
I want to dwell on
keep
that.
Going,
but that's
keep
such
going,
a huge
going.
Part. That's a huge part of your life and of the lives of people in Laguna. And the last time I checked, I believe it was 8 years ago that I read that you had over 350,000 photos at the time.
Yeah, 350,000. That's the black and whites.
And at the time, you had published about 10,000 on Facebook. So I'm
something like that,
right? And
now
you
there's 100
them,
around 150,000
exactly.
up on Facebook.
And I remember reading something where somebody had mentioned,
that's
you know,
including the color.
Somebody who didn't even know you was tagged on Facebook at the time, and I'm sure this happens on a regular basis with everybody that you, because not only does he publish those photos on Facebook, but he also tags because he has a record. He has a written record of every single
I'm
person.
I'm able to put their names with the pictures, right. Which is kind of mind-bending. Sometimes I expect somebody to say, "Oh, take that picture down." I haven't had that problem. I only had that problem at the beginning. At the beginning with somebody because they didn't understand what it's doing. They thought I'm going to be... I don't know what scandalized or something by a picture of them having their name up. You get some of that. There's always some mother that says, "For not to have my child."
So it's because you capture such candid moments.
Yeah, but the pictures from I tell the people look, the picture's 40 years old. I don't think anybody's going to care about.
But I think that's the surprise in it is that people don't realize it. They forget that Doug captured them through his lens 40 years ago.
When they were
and all of a sudden
kids.
They're being tagged on Facebook and these photos are coming out.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating.
So I'm curious if there's any shots of me playing basketball 40 with my giant mullet playing basketball in the 80s.
On Main Beach?
On Main Beach, yeah.
Wow.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I was an every weekender. I was there Saturday and Sunday
pictures.
All day.
Did you know Larry Elmore?
I did. Yeah.
Larry Elmore took pictures of him playing basketball there and you might have been there with him.
Yeah.
You
know,
I didn't. Yeah, we'll get names off the basketball court.
Of course not.
You couldn't go around there and be...
Of course
but
not.
But I take pictures of some guys playing hoops there when it was there.
I was the guy with the 10-foot mullet.
Well, you know what, Elmore? He was a football player for one of the big teams. Forget what team he told me. You know?
I think when he made it to the NFL, he was briefly on the Cowboys.
On the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Briefly.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I think he ended his career as a San Diego Charger.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Well,
right.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. Well, I cannot thank you, Frankie, enough for bringing Douglas Miller in. Sawdust is open this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I couldn't advise any stronger that you stop by his booth.
That's right, and get an ice cream cone or something and have a good time.
There you go.
Well, I'm...
Popcorn.
I love you, Doug, and I am so thrilled
you,
to have
thank
brought you,
you
on
very
today,
much.
And I'm so happy just to know you.
That's terrific. Thank you. This is so wonderful.
This is a blast for me. I thank you very much, Doug. And you know you're welcome in here anytime. You can bring your violin. I'm happy to have you just sit here.
You haven't seen it, but he has his camera already out of his pocket.
I know. He's going to start clicking. I think I get a picture of the scene.
There you go.
All right.
Frankie. I get Frankie.
My thanks to Frankie Duchesne and Douglas Miller, Sawdust Art Festival's Winter Fantasy, Friday, there Saturday, and Sunday. Thank you both so very much for being here this morning.
Thank you. Have a wonderful Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. A beautiful thing out there in the world.
All right.
Okay, everybody have a great time.
Absolutely. Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you.
8:41 the time. Thank you.